that. I wanted to share just a story. You may have heard this before. It's a story about a young pastor. He's the new pastor in a Midwestern town and goes to this church. He's excited. He spends the first 4 days after he gets into town before his first Sunday there going door to door to all the members of the church. He's got the list of the members, and he's going to them, whether they're lapsed members or active members, whatever. He's going to every place, and he's letting them know that on Sunday he'll be preaching his first service. He'd love to have them come. Sunday comes, and he's there waiting in the church. Nobody shows up. Now, if you've ever been a pastor, you know that feeling. Sometimes some activities that you wanted to build up and all to, I think Judith knows that. Sometimes we have 200, sometimes we have two. Over at the community center. You'd never know. But nobody showed up. So he went out and he decided, well, if that's the extent of what this church is, the church has apparently died, I'll put an obituary in the local funeral or in the local newspaper and then announce the funeral for the next Sunday. So the next Sunday afternoon he had the funeral. Now, of course, people were morbidly curious about what was going on. They'd never heard of such a thing, and a funeral for a church. And so a large crowd showed up, and in front of the pulpit was a coffin. And strewn over the coffin were all these flowers. It was closed, and as he preached and he continued on, and he came to the end of his message, and he went down and he opened up the coffin and he invited the people to pass by the coffin. Well, people were kind of curious, what kind of representation do you have in a coffin of a dead church? What would be in there? And as they walked up, each one of them looked in, and there was a mirror angled just right so they could see their face. Now, folks, I love that story because I think we need to remember churches die, and sometimes they still have people in them, and they're dead. But it is each one of us who contributes to the death. Sometimes when churches are struggling, people point fingers at each other, but no one's pointing the finger at themselves. It's the preacher's fault if he'd just do a better job, if he was more, you know, demonstrative, if he moved around more, whatever, you know, if the choir was just a little bit better, if we could, you know, we can come up with a million different things. And, you know, I blame the choir principally when we're having hard times, you know. We deflect. We deflect the blame. What's that? What'd you say? Joy?
I said he does.
He does. He does. Yes, I do. But in today's passage in Romans 12, we read that each one of us, it's very clear on that, each one of us has been given a spiritual gift by God in order for the church to be alive, to be the body of Christ. The body of Christ has to be alive, and so it has to have living members, each of them with a purpose, each of them gifted for spiritual service. Now, I want to be very clear. Somebody after the first service said to me that they had never before heard. You know, they said, I heard something today I've never heard explained. And that is that a spiritual gift is a gift from the Holy Spirit to those who have given their lives to Jesus Christ, been baptized and received into the church. Then God gives them spiritual gifts specifically to be used in the life of the church for the fulfillment of its mission. That's a spiritual gift. It is not a talent that you were genetically disposed to when you were born. Okay, everybody in the world is born with certain talents, a predisposition towards certain skills, where they'll be able to pick up certain skills along the way, those sorts of things. That's a common human thing that God, when he created human beings, he gave us those abilities. But these are something very different. They are specifically given to those who are living within the body of Christ by faith. And led by the Holy Spirit, they continue to use those gifts. Now, does that work perfectly? Does anything in the church work perfectly? No. In fact, because it doesn't work perfectly, 1 Corinthians 13 had to be written. You can very easily remember the two major passages in the Bible for spiritual gifts. The first is Romans 12, and the second is 1 Corinthians 12, the very next book. So two books in a row in the Bible talk about spiritual gifts. You can remember it's the 12th chapter because everybody can remember 1 Corinthians 13. What is that? What do we call it?
The love
chapter. Okay. You know, it's you remember it because you were once in, you were in love. You were really in love with somebody. So when you had your wedding, you wanted the love chapter, you know. And that's not what Paul would, that's not the love chapter. The love chapter is not about that kind of love. It's about the love we have as God's children for each other, for God, for the world. But he had to write the love chapter following the chapter on gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. Why? Because the gifts weren't being used in a loving manner. People were commandeering those gifts from God. And they said, okay, well, I've got the gift of preaching. So I will use that gift for my own self-gain. I'll use it for self-promotion. I'll advance through the world. I won't really care much about the church that I'm in. I'll just use it to move myself along. Now, I'm going to be terribly blunt here with you, but I think this is no news to you. There are people who go into pastoring because they think being a preacher is really easy. I've encountered some of those young men along the way. And when you ask them, well, why'd you become? Well, my dad was a preacher and, you know, it just seemed pretty easy. He just worked on Sunday sort of thing. They never saw their dad writing those sermons. They never saw and studying. And they didn't go with dad to the church meetings where dad was getting, you know, given a rough time. They didn't see all that. So they just thought it was going to be easy. And boy, were they in for a rude awakening when they actually got into it. People sometimes go into things for the wrong reasons. And sometimes God may have actually given them the gift of preaching or prophesying. They have that gift, but then they misuse it and they don't understand it. So here is the key to spiritual gifts. They have to be used according to the Holy Spirit. It's not your possession. Okay? God is giving this to you for a purpose, and God can remove it. And I believe that God gives different gifts sometimes for different situations. So, for instance, one of the gifts over in Ephesians that's out there in the world is the gift of martyrdom. And we kind of, in America, we go, gift of martyrdom, I don't want that gift, Lord. You know, please keep that gift away from me. But, you know, there are people, especially in other places in this world, who they're praying for that gift because their lives are being threatened and they want to die faithfully. They want to die as a witness. And if they're going to die, let me die as a martyr for the church. So that's very real in some people's lives. So some of the gifts we read about in the scriptures, some people say, well, that only applied back in the early church, in the early church times. No, I think that all the gifts still are alive. They're just being used in different contexts and different places in the world according to the needs. God sees the need and he says, this is a church that needs to have some people gifted for martyrdom because this church is about to be physically destroyed by its enemies. There's the gift of celibacy. That's not mentioned in Romans 12 or 1 Corinthians 12. There are a few of the gifts that are scattered through the New Testament. The gift of celibacy, Paul talks about that. Some people have the ability to control their bodies in such a way, God gives them that ability that they can go through life celibate so that they fill a specific role in the church. Now, of course, the Catholic Church struggles with that because priests are celibate, but not every priest has been given the gift of celibacy, so their struggle is so great that they fall along the way. But celibacy, that's one I have not prayed for, except on certain days and certain... I'm not kidding you. I've never prayed for celibacy. I love my wife. Okay. She may have prayed for it. Lord, please make them celibate. I don't know. Okay. There are days, I don't know. Did I say something about the devil was really working today? Okay. So anyways, these spiritual gifts, to make that point again, are not simply skills or talents that you have. They are specifically given by the Holy Spirit to you. And they can be, they can remain there all of the time that you're active in the church, all of your life. You may have the gift of administration. The gift of discernment. I love people who have the gift of discernment. Those are the people who you're in a meeting, things are tough, discussion's tough, and everybody's just going back and forth and nobody seems to be moving. And somebody says, hold on a second, guys. Why don't we stop and pray for a moment? And then when the prayer's over, they say, you know, as I listen, I think maybe this is what God wants us to do. And they redirect and we go, oh, yeah. They get us off of that confrontational path that we've been on, and they're able to get us back onto the Spirit-led path. People who had discernment, they see things. Sometimes I've had people who've helped me out, you know, where I just can't see what's going on, and they'll come and talk to me and say, you know, and they'll reveal something. I go, yeah, you know, I did not discern that, but they've been given that gift to do that. There is the gift of evangelism. In Ephesians 4, it talks about people who have that gift to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Tonight, we're going to talk about how to share Christ with others. Now, that's not necessarily meaning everybody has to memorize a speech or whatever, but sometimes you're leading people to Christ and you don't even realize it. God gave you the gift of being a messenger of the good news simply because you're leading a life that is good news. It's the embodiment of that. You're being a friend to others. I hate manipulation. I hate the idea that churches teach people, okay, here's our little formula. Now you go out and you use this little formula and you guarantee you're going to make disciples right and left and you'll build your church. You know, we don't need to do that. Just be who God created you to be and gifted you to be, and you can lead people to Christ. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. How does that look in our lives? If we just were to get up and to walk across the room to that lonely person or to that person sitting by themselves and to be there with them, no words said, what could that mean to that person in terms of how they view the world and their lives and their worth in God? The gift of faith. Sometimes people have to have, you know, here it says, to be firmly persuaded of God's power and promises to accomplish his will and purpose. And to display such a confidence in him and his word that circumstances and obstacles do not shake that conviction. There are times in life, and I struggle with this sometimes, because I can be convinced not to follow a course. And sometimes I need to be convinced not to follow a course. But there are times when I have to have the faith to believe, no, this is God's will. This is his vision. It's according to his word. We have to move forward. And I have to have the faith to believe that he's going to cause this to happen. And, you know, if that gift, I think, is a great gift to have because it allows you to move past things where other people fall back, other people lose heart, they lose the vision, but you go on forward, and then you can lead other people forward because of that faith. The gift of giving, to share what material resources you have with liberality and cheerfulness without thought about how it's going to affect your own life. Now, here I'm not talking about the gift of imbecility or the gift of idiocy or the gift of recklessness, but I'm talking about people who they're constant, the gift God has given them is that their constant thought is about how can I help over here and how can I help even when I don't seem to have the resources. This is the person who says, you know what, if I skipped three lunches out and ate at home, I'd save $18. And then I could use that $18 to help somebody who needs gas money. This is the person who's constantly, their first thought is, how can I help others? And how can I do it by not starving myself, but leading a life of modesty? This is the person who prays before they do things. And it doesn't mean that they're going without, but they're finding a way to have the things they have, but modestly and in a way that allows them to give out of their abundance to others. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, every morning he would fill his pants with his pockets with coins, and he would go out and he would help anybody who asked him for help. He was helping them right and left. And when he died, he said that he would be a great sinner if he had anything left to his name. And so when John Wesley died, he didn't have anything left because he was always giving it out. And so there are people who have that gift to do that. And I know those people in this church. All these gifts I'm bringing, I know who in this church has that gift. Who is the person who you can just rely on when the appeal is made, they're going to be at the church office the next day with the check. saying, here, I want to help. The gift of giving. Healings. I'll go through these others very quickly. Helps, hospitality. Helps just means to be a helper. Last night there was someone in this church. I saw him as I went out the door because I had to get home and walk my dog. But I'm looking back into that great hall and where we had all those chairs set up. And the chairs, somebody had to take them down. And that person was there still working on those chairs. And I'm sure he was tired and he had his grandchildren around to tend to. But he stayed and he did that job. This person has a gift, I'm convinced, the spiritual gift of helping. Because I've never seen him refuse to help. Always looking for a way to help. Hospitality, the willingness to open your home. Ed Pruitt was a preacher you had here who would open his home. He opened his home. You know, we talked about that on at the funeral this week, how he opened his home one time. Not just for a day, not just for months, but for, for a school year. And people who are willing to do that and to be there for folks. Knowledge. People who just they're able to retain knowledge and to bring it back up when it's needed. Mercy, miracles, missionary, people who are willing to go to other places, other cultures. We know some folks grew up in this church who have done that. To be a pastor, to prophesy, and to serve, to teach with wisdom. Voluntary poverty, to say I'm going to live at the lowest level of society so that I can experience that and I can also help those at that level better by being there at that level. I'm going to go back up to prophecy, and then that's the last thing I'm going to touch on here. Some of you may say, well, I don't know if I'm a prophet or I have the gift of prophecy. Here is what prophecy means. It's what it meant up until the Middle Ages. In the Middle Ages, the church changed the meaning of that somewhat, and people began to see prophecy as being foretelling the future. Now, in the Old Testament, it says don't fool around with fortune tellers. Okay, so how is it that prophets, people who foretell the future, we're really hung up on that? We see the prophets in the Old Testament and all, we say, oh yeah, they're foretelling the future. No, what they're doing is saying to the people of Israel, if you don't change, here's what's going to happen. Okay, it didn't take them having a crystal ball to see that. It was just saying, if you don't change, this will happen. So if you say, listen, church, if we don't change, here's what's going to happen. That's prophetic. Sometimes preaching has to be prophetic. It's not fortune telling. It's simply having the boldness to say, we need to look at things as they are, and we need to see what that means for us down in the future. And we need to hear God's word about this. Or something is going to happen. Something terrible is going to happen to us if we don't hear God. And so John the Baptist comes. He's prophetic because he's saying to people, you know, someone is coming who is greater than me. How did he know that? A crystal ball? No, because Scripture had told him that. The Old Testament has told him that. And then God had given him the gift of prophecy to have the boldness to go out. And remember, he's executed. He's a martyr because of his preaching out in the wilderness to say, the Lord is preparing the way. There is one coming who is greater than me, and that is Jesus Christ. But it's not just so we can have the comfort of knowing what's coming in the future, is so we can prepare for the future. And that's prophetic. So all of these gifts are given in the church. Every church has people who have the gifts that are needed to do this. Now here's the last thing. Unfortunately, many people choose to bury their gifts. Like the caterpillars going into a cocoon. They just cocoon their lives and they don't use those gifts. And that's the tragedy of it all. Every one of us could be gifted by God greatly. We could have all that we need, and we could still not be the church and not do what God wants us to do. So my challenge for us is, as we look at our bulletins, every week we have these things, these wonderful things going on. I would challenge you to look through this insert here and to find, especially if you're somebody, you're feeling like, you know what, I spend a lot of time on the couch, but not a lot of time out there exercising the gifts that God has given me. So I would look through here and I would say, well, UMCOR kits for conference. They're putting together these kits. Maybe I could get involved with that. There's a mission trip here. I've never done that before, but I feel like God has gifted me to help. Maybe I could go and be part of that. And to go on a mission trip, you don't have to be physically, you know, look at Wayne Smith. He goes on mission trips, you know. You don't have to know anything, right, Wayne? Wayne happens to be the guy who knows things and can do things. I'm the guy who I'll go and I don't do a whole lot, but, you know, I'm there. We'd rather have you there, even if you were just putting the peanut butter on the sandwiches. But maybe I'll go be part of that. Maybe I have a neighbor. This class for moms might be a good thing for her, or maybe for me. You know, maybe I should go tonight and learn how to share Jesus. Look at all the things that are in here, requests for donations that you could get involved in. I would challenge us to find two things that we aren't doing or that we haven't thought about doing, and maybe do those things and see what comes out of that. And maybe kind of pick it after you've prayed to God, to the Holy Spirit, to reveal to you if you're not too sure what your gift is. But I think most of you know what your gift is. I think as you've been sitting here, you probably understand, I can see where my gift is. And then this is, I just said that was the last thing. Last thing I'll tell you, you can go online, and there are all kinds of little tests and things you can take that will help you reveal what is your spiritual gift. But, you know, they didn't have that in the church for, you know, 20 centuries. You couldn't go online and do that. You know what they had? Praying to God. Praying for guidance through the Holy Spirit. Sensitivity to the Holy Spirit within you. I really believe that if you're open and honest with God, it will be clear what gift he has given you. And then exercise the gift so that you can serve his church, okay? May none of us ever have to look in the coffin at that mirror and see that we were part of the death of the church. And amen. We're going to sing a song, Come and Find the Quiet Center. That's part of that praying thing. Come and find that place where you can be with God, where he is the focus of your heart, and you can know what that gift is he has given you and what he wants you to do with it.